This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into our super summer programming. I'm Hallelujah.
And I'm Stella. And together, we'll be highlighting the queer community, environmental issues, and upcoming local events.
Stay tuned for interviews, discussion, and music from our collections.
Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen territories of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, the lands that they have cared for since time immemorial. Today I'm here with Chimgi, the creator behind the one and only Instagram page Hot Mother Truckers. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about you?
Hi, I'm Chimgi, and I am the creator and current curator of Hot Mother Truckers.
So I've been following your account for a while, and I've gone to quite a few events that you post, but for those who aren't so familiar, can you just explain what you do?
Yeah, so Hot Mother Truckers started out as like weekly listings. So it's like a curated post of 9 events that I think are the hottest and coolest of the week. And I think over time, so I've done that every week consistently. I think I've only missed a few weeks here and there, but that has been taking place since like December 2021. So it's actually been a lot of posts. And now I'm glad to say that it also functions as sort of like an archive. So you can kind of look back to any week from then on and see what was happening in the city. And most of the events are like the page I created with an intention to prioritize QT BIPOC events first and foremost, and also any events that seem cool and sweet as well. So pretty broad. When I first started, there was like nothing quite like it. And yeah, I love looking and sharing. And that is kind of what the Hot Mother Truckers function is and what it started out as. But now we have started to do monthly events as well, so that there's like a nice consistent time and date for events in the city, even if there's not a consistent space, which is like a hard issue in this place as well. But yeah, just providing some type of consistency and stability for like our community, I felt was really important to add to what the page offers, especially since now I have like a team of volunteers, and so they can help support those events, because running one person events, the outcome is awesome, but I mean, not the result is always nice to see people enjoy it, but it's hard.
Yeah, I bet. And as you mentioned, feels like your account does fill like a gap in the awareness of Vancouver's like DIY events or those that are created by equity denied communities like QT BIPOC. And I was wondering, like, what was the inspiration behind starting your account? If there's anything like specifically that spurred you into action?
Yeah, I think that when I left university, I wasn't really aware of anything, like any like queer events in the city or any groups, maybe just kind of the bigger, well-funded ones, right? But not anything like local or DIY. And then I think I went to my like first, this is when the Birdhouse was the warehouse, but I went to my first like warehouse event for Halloween, and it was my first like queer nightlife experience. And I was like, why is this a million times better? And just, yeah, and just like safe and like everyone, oh, for the most part, like safer, but yeah, like everyone was just like, it felt so different from like going to like straight nightlife where like you feel weird standing out, versus I feel like in queer nightlife you are like celebrated for it and people love it, you know, we're all eating it up and we're enjoying it. And so like that was such a positive experience in my like early adulthood that I was like, wait, like why don't more people know about these places? Like why have I lived here for like, I don't know, like 10 years, and this is the first time I'm going to one of these events? And so that was kind of the moment that spurred me on. Yeah, so once I went to that, I started to find like more and more orgs and like smaller groups too that were doing similar things that are not just nightlife, but just like hanging out or like different social and like political activities. And so, yeah, once I started pulling the thread, I was like, there is so, so much in this city that so many people are working on. And I was like, it needs to be seen. And even though that, yeah, it needs to be seen. And it's not on Facebook and it's just on Instagram. This is when Facebook events was just like mostly starting to die. And like there was seldom events still posted on it. But yeah, anyway, that is the inciting incident for me. And I also wanted to like have a place where I could practice my art form, like doing a graphic every week. Sometimes feels like a lot, but it feels good to maintain like a consistent practice. And it's nice because the posts, it can look like whatever I want it to look like. There's no real strict brand guidelines, and so I think that's also always fun to do.
Yeah, I didn't realize you did the graphics as well. That's so cool. Nice. Yeah, a lot of the events you post are really cool, and I would not have heard about them otherwise. I mean, your page is also a great resource to find more political events and get organized in some ways, like, you know, a protest for no AI data centers in Vancouver. And I was wondering if there's a reason behind featuring these types of gatherings, because I think it is very needed that people know about these as well.
Totally. I mean, I think the political is like just such a big part of all of our lives. I think that obviously some groups are impacted more than others. And it's just like, yeah, it's a part of our lives and it affects our lives. I don't know, it just felt kind of, it felt like a natural need to include it because it's like, it's relevant. Part of who the page is for is like, what I like to say is like hot and caring people. Like you wanna go to things, you wanna meet people, or you know, you wanna have like low-key events as well, but like you also care a lot. And kind of that is who the page is really intended for, like that audience. Like, yes, like QT BIPOC folks, and then also just other allies that are cool and care, you know? And I think that they would wanna know, you know, if these things are happening and where they're happening. And yeah, I think it's even more important that we feature political events just because there are, since I started, there have been a lot of different like weekly listing accounts that have popped up. Really what I want to say is like, I don't see the political events being promoted as much by a lot of pages, you know, like they don't really get that extra share or that boost by bigger pages. And I think that that's really important to do with the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are some of the events that we actually like desperately need people to attend and be at to actually make a difference. So
MC. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year you started organizing Hot Mother Truckers Hangouts as a monthly series. I'm curious if that's related to the lack of community in Vancouver or if there's anything specifically that motivated you to start these monthly hangouts.
Yeah. Definitely when it comes to like lack of low cost or like free community activities, like it is hard to come by. I know there's so many groups that are doing similar things, and I do really try to focus on highlighting those events that have less barriers to attend. I respect, you know, if people want to get I respect people wanting to get paid a good amount for their work, so I'm not poo-pooing anyone who's like charging like upwards of 30 for an event, but it's like it makes it hard, like that's limiting, you know, that's limiting the folks that can come. So I think adding to the low cost and free events that are available in the city was important to me. And then as well, because Hot Mother Truckers does have a following and does have like a good reputation, I was like, okay, we can also do this, you know, and like people feel like we're welcoming, and we are, you know. And so I was like, I feel like we're in a position to be able to provide this. And as well with like putting the call out for a volunteer team, I'm like, now we have more of like the capacity to do that. And so those two factors. And then as well, I think like something that's hard is like feeling I think part of feeling like you belong to like a group or a community is having somewhere to like go to regularly, or like you see these people regularly, and it feels like consistent and it feels stable. And I think that's something that is hard to come by in the city, this feeling of stability. I mean, we see it with like every venue that shuts down, you know, and like it's overturned, or like orgs that get burnt out. And then, you know, like there's so much turnover, I think, in the Vancouver like event organizing DIY like scene. And it makes sense just because it's like, it's an expensive city to live in, let alone do like a lot of additional work, like unpaid labor as well. There's not a lot of support from the city when it comes to arts and culture, DIY spaces, and it's ever rescinding, you know? So I think it is a really harsh landscape to do this sort of thing. And that's why I have so much admiration for the groups and the orgs that still do it and continue to do it. That's why it is really important to have something that's like reliable and comes at a certain time every single month. And you know to expect it, you can, yeah, and they can be kind of a part of you feeling rooted in the city. And so, yeah, I think we just wanted to be a part of like contributing to that, or be a potential place where someone could start to feel that.
Yeah, that's so true. I think so many people in Vancouver are struggling to have enough money to go out and connect with their friends or their family even. Yeah, the DIY spaces, you know, there's more and more crackdowns on them and everything too. So for people who are like interested, who are listening, you do have some upcoming events in August, right?
Yes. So there is an event that we scheduled due to the forecast of rain, and it is a Rila Kuma picnic. And I don't know if we all know who Rila Kuma is, but he's that big bear. I think he's from that Sanrio family.
Nice.
But he's always just like relaxing, you know, that's his thing. And so Kat, who is Track ID, they're a DJ, they came to us with this idea, and I was like, okay, let's do it, you know? So the picnic will be on, we haven't announced the new dates, but I think it'll be on August 16th. And it'll feature like a little trinket trade, a bake sale, and just, yeah, regular picnic fun. And then the other event is just the weekend after. It's with Unit Pit, which is the gallery in Kitsilano near like Chewy's Biscuits. Which is, it's just like such a beautiful, beautiful gallery with an incredible garden space. So we will be doing a sun printing, which is also known as like anthotype printing workshop, along with some typewriters. So we'll just be doing some like reflective writing. But you can also just type whatever you want on a typewriter just because it's fun. But yeah, so I'm really excited for that with Unit Pit as well. Yeah, so those are our two main ones coming up, and then we will have something every month. I think it's gonna be really fun, and it's fun to collaborate with other folks in the community, and it's also fun to have different people on the event team like lead with their own event ideas. My initial volunteer call out was like, I want your event dreams to come true, and so I'm happy that we're doing it.
So those are on the fourth weekend of every month, right?
Yeah, cool. The picnic is just at a different date just because we had to postpone, but yeah.
Nice. Is there any final words you have to say?
Anything else that I have to say? I think, yeah, something that I think I said when I first started the page, or as I kind of, yeah, went through the years of running the page, it is like first and foremost, like, a continuing love letter to all of the organizers and the artists and like the community members that make these events possible or these spaces possible. And I think I'm a bit of like an archive nerd, and so I love the fact that that's what this is becoming as well. And I love that people can use it as like a jumping off point. Like, it's mostly for like discovery, right? Like, you don't have to stay with Hot Mother Truckers. It will be awesome if you do, and only benefits ahead. But I love that people can just find the groups that they really resonate with from the page and then go forth with that information. Yeah.
And that concludes the end of that interview I did with Chimki. Be sure to check out Hot Mother Truckers on Instagram and keep up to date with local community events. And yeah, the next hangout that they're doing is on August 16th, so be sure to keep an eye out for that this coming weekend.
Hello, everybody. This is Hallelujah here. That was just an interview that Stella did with the, I guess, event organizer of Hot Mother Truckers, which does a lot of local events. But I'm here live in studio. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can listen back to anything on the CGSF website, cgsf.ca, or on our radio app that you can download on the App Store or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media, on our link tree, and learn more by visiting our website. So, I mentioned, we're live in studio right now, and we have some very special guests. You guys want to say hi?
Hello. Hello.
Introduce yourself by name. This is an audio format we have over here.
I'm Riley.
I'm Kalar.
We're from Sour Dope.
Perfect. So, Sour Dope is a lovely band that is based out here in our lovely Pacific Northwest, yeah. Or Lower Mainland area, and I'm just going to read their bio over here. Sour Dope splashes toasty horn melodies together with grooving rhythm sections and sparkly guitar textures, drawing inspiration from great instrumental fusion acts such as the Budos, Yusef Days, Lettuce, Krongman, sorry, I can't read, Bonobo, and Flamingosis, with the Pacific Northwestern shores of BC as their backdrop. Sour Dope brings the ebb and flow of the tides to every stage as the trumpet and saxophone glow together in evocative melodies over ever-fluid beats. There's something for every listener to find themselves lost in. I love that. That's a good bio.
It's long, man. We definitely could.
That was not written by AI. It was written by me. 100%
human. I feel like, for context, I do music as well, to our listeners. I can't remember what festival it was, one of my first festivals. It was Music Waste,
yeah.
That I booked. I think they did like a couple sentence bios for every band, and they went like youthful, effervescent, and banging, something like that. Youthful, ethereal, banging, and I've used that on every press bio.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like, I think 6 years. Yeah.
Just add effervescent.
That's a good word, I think, to add on in the Pacific Northwest thing. I hadn't even looked at your bio before I'd said that. Nice. I just felt that aura.
Yeah.
Of the music I've been listening to. So, you're just coming off and finishing off some local dates, and you've just been touring like mad people.
Yeah, a little bit. We've been doing a lot of just kind of weekend things, nothing too crazy yet, but yeah, local dates, weekend things, sort of out of towners.
Yeah.
It's been a lucky season. We got a lot of little festival gigs just throughout the Lower Mainland, so we've been doing those, and it's been nice.
Yeah. Tomorrow, you're at Chilliwack Mural Fest in New West. Pride?
Yeah, both gigs. It's actually a little scary because they're only like an hour and a half apart, and it's like an hour and a half drive. So.
We got this.
Pray yeah, for hopefully, us. There's no speed traps on the road.
I believe in y'all, not getting trapped in traffic.
Yeah. So that's been nice. That's definitely been a goal. The band is not been around actually the longest. A lot of the members in the band used to play in a cover group together where we had various like residencies like the Heritage Grill and a lot of New West events and stuff. And we did that for quite a while. We've been playing together for 15 years or so. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, we decided that we kind of want to do more original music and less of kind of the covers, kind of free jamming kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where this band's come from. So it's been really exciting to see, after really only like a year or so putting effort into the band and building it, just like all of it come together and being able to play a few sets a night and stuff, and it's been nice. Yeah,
Yeah. So that's the beginning of your band. What kind of music were you doing, like, besides, like, free jamming? Was there any specific kind of artist that you focused on when you were doing covers and stuff?
All sorts of stuff, for sure. Like, all the bangers, you know?
Yeah.
Different genres.
Yeah, it was
depending on the crowd.
Yeah, a bit of a, unusual thing. We were kind of a bit, we were instrumental, kind of more jazz-focused, jam-focused band, but just because of the nature of the way we are and who our friends are and stuff, we never actually really play like jazz standards. So we'd play like Taylor Swift or like classic rock covers or
Nirvana.
And we would do like California Love. Like, it is like the song choices were always pretty unorthodox for kind of a jazz band, but they were definitely songs people always knew. So it kind of, that was kind of where we kind of, like, I guess, paid dues and stuff. I don't know. Yeah. So that was always fun. Yeah.
Before we got live on air, you were talking about, like, plans and stuff. You were discussing that you're finishing up, like, your tour dates and stuff, and that you were hoping to record in the winter. I'm curious to hear about, like, if you have this background in, like, improvisational music and drawing from all sorts of different genres, how do you approach getting ready to prep, to record, to write?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a good question. I don't know. It kind of varies by project. We're involved in, you know, so many things over the years, and even right now we have, you know, a couple projects on the go, Sourdough being one of them, that I've stopped putting myself in the headspace for each one and just kind of existing in between all of them.
I think creatively, though, getting ready to record, one of the things that I'm excited about with this session is that we've had the opportunity to play live and test a lot of these songs and try them out. There's definitely a few that have gone, I've been undergoing changes over the course of the summer. And like even last night in our rehearsal, we were changing a couple of them again, just to kind of really finally lock in on them and stuff. And it's nice out there playing them and seeing people respond to them and which ones people are into. And like, you know, you kind of think you're one type of band, and then you go and play and you kind of see like, oh, everyone liked the songs I didn't think were the best, you know, and then you're like, oh, maybe we're actually that type of band. So I think that's been kind of a fun process this summer. I think like going into recording, I'm kind of excited to have that experience and opportunity to kind of improve the songs and like the things we're doing. It's kind of interesting you asked about the improvisational thing, and the more you kind of play the song, sort of the less improvisational they get, you know? And like that's kind of an interesting aspect of being in an improvisational band is like, you know, it's if your whole song's a jam, it's like eventually it's not really a song anymore. Like people come to hear the song on the record and like you just do a totally free jam that's different, call it the same thing. Like you kind of have to play a certain part of the song or certain parts of that people recognize or whatever. And so yeah, it's in a weird way, it slowly becomes less improvisational. We still leave room for solos and stuff like that and little jam opportunities, but definitely the more we play them, the more kind of fine-tuned they also get, and everyone gets really excited about little parts, and so that's fun.
You know, I think it's just really interesting to hear about how people who explore like any kind of improvisational music, right? Because I have friends of mine that jam out things or are very traditional, need to write it out on staff paper before they even approach it, even if it is like improvisational music. It's interesting to see how you guys approach it. I was just hoping I could play some of your music today, so I'm hoping to start off with Water Temple. I would love to hear about the writing process or the story of what made this tune.
Well, you wrote the song for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I guess our drummer at the time kind of actually came in with the main kind of boop, 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 boop kind of like lick that forms most of the song. But that was kind of all he had for it. And we kind of, I was kind of writing a bunch of the other music at the time just to kind of get music written for the band. So I was actually writing quite a bit of it on like staff paper, like lead charts and chords so that I could give it out to people and just kind of get the ball rolling. And, so I just kind of finished that song. It had this like twinkly thing, and I just thought of in my head it was like swans or some type of bird is like the melody, and it just kind of got this water image. And I've, over time writing songs, you kind of like write, you'll like make a demo of a song and you have to title it, and then that's where the problem comes in, because then it's like if you just like made a chord progression, like I like this chord progression, it's like I can't write another song just called like A minor jam, you know what I mean? So it's like I got to think of something memorable for this title. So I've started just giving songs titles like really aggressively early on, just so that like they stick out in my notepad and save files and stuff. So yeah, Run Me Like a Water, I just named it Water Temple and just kept writing it, yeah.
And before we get into it, I'm curious, because we'll chat about it after the song break. You mentioned like the swan thing in your head. Are you like a synesthesia person? Are you like very visual?
Yeah, actually, technically, I think I am synesthetic. Yeah. People do kind of fuck with me about that. Or I should probably be sorry. My bad. But yeah, I do have the synesthesia thing. Yeah.
You know, that's really interesting. So we're going to get into it. This is Water Temple by Sarah Dope.
Okay. A little slip there. At least I said it super fast, so maybe I was talking about that.
Hello, everybody. It's Hallie here. We're back live in studio with some lovely musicians. That song you just heard was by them. That was called Water Temple by Sour Dope. Just to introduce you back, we're talking about touring, we're talking about writing, we're talking about recording, and our lovely friends from Sour Dope are just getting back from, or just about to play two shows tomorrow in New West and Chilliwack.
Yeah.
Perfect. How do you guys, like, approach, like, getting ready for your shows and prepping, again, as I'm going to keep saying it, improvisational musicians?
Well, that actually kind of makes it a little bit easier in some ways. We definitely do rely on that to make the shows cooler. Like, we did a rehearsal last night without our trumpet player, and we're just, like, going over some material and just kind of, like, tightening some of the other stuff up and trying some new stuff out, and, like, yeah, not having the trumpet player there, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I could play another solo here, but it's like, also, if it was just the trumpet player, it'd be so much easier. It's like, you know, like, just sit back, let them do all the work. So that's definitely one aspect of the preparing, is more just focusing on making sure we kind of know if there are changes in the songs and stuff that we can really hit them together and keep the illusion of us being super organized as tight as possible. Yeah, that's mostly the preparing. We just need to get together and kind of just play. A lot of the people in the band, fortunately, playing's not hard for them. So it makes it definitely easy in that respect. You just kind of put the music in front of them and it kind of just happens. So it's actually not that interesting in sort of a way. Like, it's really cool. It's just, it's not as much of a struggle as you'd kind of almost maybe expect a rehearsal to be in some way. It's mostly just hanging out, really. Yeah, I guess that's basically the answer to that question.
I had a mentor once tell me that when he does rehearsals, it's only intros and outros.
Yeah, that's honestly...
Only intros and outros. Like, it's like we're going to do the first four and the last eight, and yeah. That's it. Everybody learns everything at home.
Yeah, like, maybe sounds... double-check the C-side, like the bridge, if you guys are hitting it right or something. But, like, yeah, honestly, that's good advice, yeah.
I feel like I waste so much rehearsal time with the hanging out portion. It's like... Oh, we only have like this much music to rehearse for. Maybe we only need an hour, but I need to account for the hanging out time.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're doing like an hourly space.
Oh, especially. There's also a lot of our rehearsal time we'll get dealt with dealing with just the logistics of traveling. It's like, it's so many things. Always just be like, okay, there's accommodations and what car are we bringing? And this one is backline, this one doesn't. It's between the hanging out and actually having to like, oh yeah, we just hung out for an hour. We actually have to talk about something important. Yeah, rehearsal has less playing than you'd probably want.
All the glories of a working musician. Rockstar life is truly logistics.
Yeah.
It's all that it is. Because it is just so hard, like, being an adult and texting people to nail them down for, like, a rehearsal or whatever. Do you have a... On the note of, like, logistics and touring, I love asking people this. Do you have a good tour story, a little funny tour story that is PG enough to air on radio at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories that aren't, that's for sure.
PG, that's for sure.
Yeah, it would be a good one to go. Oh, I got one I could probably try to go through quick. We were touring across Canada a couple years ago. It was, like, pretty big tour. It was about a month long. And we had an RV that we went on tour with, and I brought my bike on tour. Like, I had a couple bikes, and we just put them on the back of the RV because we were camping and whatnot. And we were playing in Saskatoon, and my bike got stolen off the back of the RV, like, during the show. So I was, like, super bummed, right? Like, so I'm, like, on Marketplace, like, as we're going through the tour. This is only, like, 4 days into tour or something like that. Like, it's, like, the first week. Maybe not 4 days. Maybe, like, the first week or something. And so this is, like, 2 weeks left, 3 weeks left driving around this RV, and I was, like, I'm going to find another bike. So every time we go into like a town, I'm like on Marketplace, like looking for sick BMXs, like, oh, I want a sick bike. And we finally find one in Toronto. And the only opportunity I can get it is like 20 minutes before we play, like on the other side of town. And like, so me and the bass player at the time, we like, we're committed though, because it's like a sick deal and we really want this bike. So we get in the cab and we just start ripping across like the city like as fast as we can to get to this bike. And like on our way there, we end up like getting stuck in this massive like pride parade, and we couldn't get through it, right? And as we're like there, or no, we got in the cab and there was a phone in the cab, and we're trying to figure out whose phone it was. So Carson's like on like trying to figure it, and people keep calling the phone, and he keeps trying to answer the phone to like figure out what's going on, right? And we ended up going to the bike place. I ended up buying the bike. And we got, like, so little time to get back to the gig. Like, we're literally about to go on stage. And we're, like, ripping back. And Carson finally gets a hold of the person whose phone it is. And they're at the Pride Parade. So, like, Carson's like, yo, we're going to meet up with you. So, like, we don't have time for this. Now we're driving, like, deep into downtown Toronto. And we end up, like, finding this person in the corner of a street, giving their phone back. They're like, whoa, like, partying. And, like, we're like, we end up getting back there with like literally like 2 minutes. Like we walk in to the back of like the venue straight on the stage. Like there's a little more to the story, but it's like that was a pretty wild adventure. Like everyone was not stoked we were listening to go do that.
Do you still like, have the bike?
I still have the bike. Yeah, it's actually a really nice bike. It was worth it.
Oh my gosh. It's always stuff like that, cutting it close. Or I can't. That makes me so stressed.
Yup.
Oh my gosh.
This is my only option though. It was like you're on tour, you just have such a little window to do things. And it's like once the gig was over, we're driving out of town. It's like I'm only here for like literally this 1 hour. Like, and
it's like every time I feel like I'm ever traveling or like playing a show or something out of town, that is the one day that there is a parade that I've never heard of happening. I remember like being in Montreal and I really needed to I was grabbing the Via Rail from Montreal to Toronto, which is not the most efficient way to travel, but it is way nicer than a bus. Oh, yeah. And way slower than a plane. And I played a show the night before and my bandmates like were talking to me and they're like, oh, you don't need to get there like 2 hours before. You show there 45 minutes before the train leaves, 15 minutes before the train leaves, you're good. And I'm like, okay. Cut to like I am in an Uber, the only Uber in I think all of Montreal that drove slow and safely. Every time I was in like a cab or an Uber in Montreal, it was like just whipping around like it's Fast and the Furious. And I think it was the day of like the St. Patrick's Day parade. I was like, why did I it's always parades and street closures.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, speaking of arts and culture. I was kind of like interested. Like I would keep bringing back to like recording and writing. But when you're kind of in between like a busy touring season, like you guys have had, and approaching like doing some more writing in the winter season, like what do you like find helps ground you or puts you back in that kind of creative place to release or get music ready in the in-between cycles?
For me, it's the desire to play new music.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one. You get bored of playing some of the music. Maybe not bored of it, but you kind of start craving something.
Yeah, you hit the same set for like the whole summer, and then you're like, gotta get some new stuff in there.
Yeah, and I think for me too, I'm always kind of writing, and it's just kind of the way I kind of play music. Like I used to sort of practiced when I was a kid, but I find it hard not to sit down and just start looking for things and kind of like trying to find things to write. And so by the time those in the next couple months, when we're kind of done the rest of this touring season, it'll be I think a little cathartic almost to go through all of my little notes and kind of actually put it all together. And like there's a lot of ideas that I've been excited about, but it's just way too busy to try to introduce like a new song or that kind of stuff. So for me, definitely, it's like a little pent up writing that I've been not able to kind of actually do almost, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we briefly mentioned it before we ended up playing your last tune, but I want to talk about like, visualizing writing. Like you were talking about synesthesia, but I had a roommate when I was in college and I was in music school before I went to Cap, and I can't remember how it came up, but there's like a bit of a trick you can, or like an exercise that I've heard be done, where it's like you close your eyes and you try to imagine an apple, like, and you just try to imagine like how clear can you get that image of an apple in your head. And we're sitting down doing this roommate turns to me and she's like, I can't picture anything in my head, like it's absolutely not something
it's like
you can do
or something.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. I find I don't think it's like the opposite of synesthesia, but I've always found it interesting. Like I know so many creative people who are almost like on one end of like everything is very visual and like overwhelming, or the other end where it's like there's nothing in there and I just practice. And they still are an incredible musician, but I always found it interesting. It's like, huh, you can't visualize anything in there, so it's like makes more sense to get things that way. And I was curious from both of you, like kind of there's like a specific way that you approach like Like, is music more visual to you, or and how, in ways, even just outside of synesthesia, like, you explore visual themes or the opposite end of the spectrum? Sorry, that's like a long question.
Yes. Do you want to go first?
Well, for me, in the music sense, like, I'm also like a visual creator in some ways, but in the music sense, I find that it just kind of comes out of me. I don't know. I don't spend too much time trying to, like, visualize it, because I find myself, I'll get a bit stuck in my head and start to overthink things. So I try to actually ignore that part of my brain a little bit and just let it come out, and that usually works pretty well for me.
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of almost a bit the opposite, in the sense that, like, for me, music's very, like, story-driven, and, like, that, like, music in the abstract isn't necessarily that interesting to me, like, music as an exercise, or, you know, just because of some random chord rule or something, isn't necessarily that interesting unless you can kind of tie it to some type of story or emotion or something. So I'm always kind of, I think, in writing, looking for those things, like, even if it is instrumental, like, how can I make this into something that, like, even if someone just read the title, they can already kind of feel an idea of what's going into it. So, like, I really do try to connect the music often, maybe not to something always visual, but, like, definitely something that kind of tells a bit of a story in a sense.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I feel like maybe I've mentioned it at least once for the people at home that this is an instrumental band. I've always found it, like, interesting how people who maybe don't listen to any instrumental music at all are very, might be apprehensive to not, like, having the literal thing, like, the literal meaning of a song, like, right in front of them. But I think that's such a fun thing that you can explore as a listener of whatever non-lyrical music that exists, whether it be a classical song or a jazz song or a funk song or a fusion, like, it just keeps going, right? And sitting down and, like, you know, sitting down with somebody and talking about, like, oh, like, this is how I interpret, like, a specific, like, jazz tune, like, I can't remember. I'm trying to pull a good example right now so I can explain it better to, like, a listener. But, like, are there any tunes that you think of that are, like, great, like, instrumental tunes that you really just enjoy that you bring to your creative life?
Like, any video game music or film music? Yeah.
Yes. Is there anything specific?
Oof.
Yeah, she's really into a lot of the, like, kind of, like, chill hop video game channels where they play, like Zelda and stuff and, like, Final Fantasy.
Yeah. The Persona 5 soundtrack, perfection.
I love that.
Yeah. Wow. And I think for me it's, like, I'm definitely, like, influenced by jazz music, but we didn't actually go to jazz school. We went to, like, classical school. I actually listen to mostly, like, flamenco music and stuff like that. So it's weird, like, where the influences all come from, because they're, I don't know, you don't always play what you listen to, I guess, in a weird way, like, you know, so I think that's always kind of a weird thing. Yeah, so there's plenty of great instrumental music, though, like orchestral music, obviously, and like Chopin, like, who's not touched by Chopin? Like,
I love it. The video game music thing is so funny, because I think that is a gateway, in a way, to, like, people listening to more instrumental music. There's so many, like, video game band, like, big shows now. And I can say, like, honestly, the Sonic soundtrack is a good, like, gym playlist. Because, you know, I gotta go fast.
Yeah.
As a great hedgehog one set.
The trumpet player we're playing with tonight and tomorrow, his profile picture is him in a Sonic outfit. He plays in a band where he does Sonic covers.
Is he dressed, like, up as Sonic?
Yeah, he dresses as Sonic and does Sonic covers with a jazz band. That's literally his act.
Love it.
I think that, like, actually might be my dream job.
We can make it happen.
How much blue paint is required?
I think he's got a costume, because I feel like...
Like a onesie?
Yeah.
You know, that is, like, this part of the resume, full blue body paint. Yeah. Approaching.
Only hiring ex-Blue Man Group.
That'd be good. Like, you know, we were talking about, like, you know, doing the two gigs in a night, you know, first gig, Sonic cover band, and you're already painted blue, so you could run downtown and you could do the Blue Man Group right after. But it's lovely stuff. We're going to play one more tune by you folks. It's called Change It Up by Sour Dope. And stay tuned. We're going to keep on hanging out right here till the end of the hour. I'm Hallelujah, and this is your Super Summer Programming.
the bruised ego.
Hello, everybody. This is Hallelujah here, and you're listening to Super Summer Programming. We're just finishing off our hour, a little lovely interview with live in studio with the lovely folks from Sourdope. Yay!
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming all the way up. For those of you who are not aware of what the happenings are at SFU right now, there's a whole bunch of traffic issues. There seem to be filming something up here. Yeah. But it is sometimes a struggle to get up this mountain, so I'm always appreciative when people make the journey up here.
Nice. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, You guys will be driving around. I've mentioned it a couple times on air, but you have two shows. You have Chilliwack Mural Fest and Newest Pride. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're playing the Thunderbird stage tomorrow at Chilliwack Mural Fest at 4 p.m. Come check us out. And then we're boogieing super fast over to Newest Pride and playing at 7 p.m. and closing out the celebrations for the evening.
Lovely. I like the usage of boogieing.
Oh, yeah.
Boogieing out.
Like we've never boogied before.
Like one of the smaller tours, I guess, but one of the more stressful drives.
I have over here heading down to Princeton on the 22nd.
That's true.
And yeah.
Copper Mountain Music Festival. And then Kelowna at the end of September, I think September 24th. We're playing Redbird Brewery, opening up for the Free Label, which
is awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And the last one I have on my list is Pass Creek Fall Fair in Castlegar.
That's true. That's happening on the 26th of September.
26th, yes.
We might have something on the 25th. We'll see.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely.
Yeah, and then we might try to chill out for a minute.
I think we need to chill out for a second.
We play in another band, and it's doing a full Western Canada tour in the middle of September as well, so that'll be 2 weeks, 11 dates. And then we go camping a week before that. So it's like, it's literally like we're touring and then we go camping, we come back for a day, we're gone for 2 weeks, we come back for like 3 days and we go back. And it's like, oh, I'm in October. I think I'm going to veg out at home for at least a couple days.
All gas, no brakes. And hopefully you'll get to hibernate for a tiny bit.
Just a little.
Camping's relaxing, right? Yeah.
You're sitting there in the campsite mulling over logistics.
Oh, yeah.
100% that will be happening.
Yeah, we're going camping with another member from that band, so it's probably just going to be like vocal rehearsals the whole time.
I can't think of a better place to sit down and just do some singing exercises than in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, honestly, it's great.
Probably freaking out some other campgoers in the distance.
Yeah. Or... inviting them to a nice show. Free show.
I think last year we went camping and Kayla brought a bunch of recorders and we were doing a lot of recorder jamming. I'm not sure what the neighbors thought of that, though.
I was like, I might be being annoying.
Yeah, three or four days a recorder might be a bit much for some people.
Yeah, as we wrap up, is there any kind of last words or thoughts you would like to leave our listeners here at CJSF FM?
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
Apologies to everybody affected by the wildfires.
Yeah, that
sucks. That's,
yeah. That does suck, yeah.
That's really
sad. Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody, I'm sorry if you were awoken by the strange weather this morning. There was some thunder.
I was indeed waking up by that.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty well.
Yeah, you slept through it.
Yeah.
Very turbulent climate-based times and fire-based times. We have some exciting things going on with you folks. I'm really excited. I'm really happy that I got to have you in person and on air. And if you guys were listening back and were curious, the tunes that we played today, I'll just let you know. We played Water Temple by Sour Dope. We played Change It Up by Sour Dope. And we played Catalog by Chris Keto. And just to play us out, we have our outro. My name is Hallelujah Hailu. We usually also have Stella. And the first half of this interview of the show was with Hot Mother Truckers. About local events in the city. You can catch us next Friday again at our regular slot, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we only have a couple more of Super Summer programmings left. So thank you so much. Have a great morning, I guess. Or if you're listening this back, afternoon. And I'm Hallelujah Hailu. Thank you.
Nice.
Thanks for tuning in to our Super Summer programming.
Catch us next Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And until then,
stay super chill.